Happy 2024, everyone, and welcome back to Air Magique. I'm your host, Eric, and I'm the one who is binging Solar Opposites on Disney Plus. It's really funny, and well, it's filled with adult humor, so don't watch it with your kids. But with me is my amazing co-host, Niels.
Hello, everyone. Yes, I'm Niels, and I'm that guy who spent 8 days of his holiday season in and around Disneyland Paris and Paris itself. And today, it's time to talk all about winter Efteling based on Eric's experiences. So I'm really curious to hear all about it later.
Awesome. But before we get to all that, Niels, you visited the brand new Brasserie Rosalie in person. Could you tell us a little bit about it?
Oh, yes. Well, it's indeed the new Brasserie that we have in Disney Village, here where we used to have Café Mickey. It opened on December 8th last year. And well, it's basically got a complete refurb, a new design, a new concept. Yeah. And it's also not operated by Disney itself. So it's a French group with lots of French brasseries over the country. So they bring in some, well, relevant experience. So that's also exactly what you can expect, a French-style brasserie in a modern way. And I have to say, it doesn't feel like Disney fairy tales or something like that. Huh? It looks very stylish with quality finishing, but this feels like the direction they chose also for Disney Springs and Walt Disney World, that you have more grown up, mature,
right,
stylish restaurants, not directly associated to Disney, but
offering, it's a little bit light on the theming and more like a generic, elegant ambiance, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Well, it is a place to feel cozy from the moment you enter, in my opinion. It looks like a place that is there for many years, and not in a negative way, but it gives you the feeling that you're, well, in a cozy restaurant, like basically like coming home. There are two floors. The ground floor has a bar for drinks, a seafood bar, so you see the ice and all the fish and the jellyfish and oysters and whatever. there are lots of tables, of course, and there's a really nice glass serre with a lake view, like we also used to have when it was Café Mickey. In the upper floor are more tables, and there's also a great view from above over the lake. So it would be perfect, I can imagine, when there's another lake fireworks show, like the Bonfire or the Magic Over Disney celebrations that took place there several times.
We need more of those,
so they can sell these places like VIP seats. As for the food and drinks, there's a wider variety, but it's clearly a French focus that they have, so expect a lot of seafood, wines, typical French meat offerings, like duck or goose or whatever. I personally didn't have lunch or dinner there, so I cannot judge that yet. But I've heard a lot of positive stories about especially the seafood. I personally had breakfast, and that's quite limited but good. I had some kind of hard baguette style breads. They were a little bit smaller than a baguette, but really nice, with little cups of jam or confiture is what they say. honey, and maybe they also had other things, but I just got these cups together with a hot drink. I chose a cappuccino, but you can also choose for hot chocolate or regular coffee or tea.
Nice.
And fresh or semi-fresh, I'm not completely sure, orange juice. So that's a typical French combination to have coffee, juice, some bread, and some sweets to put on the bread. So that's a package deal for just $8.50 while you sit comfortably in a nice environment. So I think that's a pretty good deal for Disney.
Yeah, if you just want a really light breakfast, I think that's pretty perfect.
Yeah, but in the end, two of those, baguette like breads are pretty stuffing, I have to say.
Okay, so you wouldn't go away hungry?
No, absolutely not. Nice. There was also an option for pain au chocolat or maybe even a croissant. So there are a few varieties to choose from, or well, croissants or pain au chocolats to add, maybe. I'm not completely sure, but they're all not that expensive, so that's pretty good. Yeah,
totally.
There was no Disneyland Pass discount when I visited, although I heard from other people that they got their discount
right after you left. They're like, yeah, okay, now we're
maybe just not for the breakfast for 8:50, and I'm sitting there like 40 minutes, and that's not not worth it. But people having lunch or dinner there, some already received their 10% discount. But right now, it was officially announced that the passes are accepted, and all passes are providing you a 10% discount. So there's not 50% off as in the Disney restaurants, but still nice extra. You can find the full menu and also the possibility to reserve for lunch or dinner, not for breakfast, via the website of Brasserie Rosalie, which is brasserierosalie.com. So no reservation through the Disneyland Paris site or app or their phone lines. So you really have to go to this website to make your bookings. The nice thing is that they also added a takeaway counter named the comptoir, I guess.
Mm-hmm. which sounds fancy.
Yeah, but which literally means the counter. And that counter offers a really wide selection of bites and drinks like sandwiches, croque-monsieur, croissants, pain au chocolat, macarons, banana bread, carrot cake, lemon cake, salads, falafel bowls, quiches, fresh juices, sodas, hot drinks, and many more things. So there's really a lot, and I so that being offered from breakfast till late evening. That's a nice extra opportunity to just grab something and take it to your hotel or find a place around the lake and eat it. They don't have a terrace outdoor, so there's no place to sit. So you have to find your own place in village or around the lake. But overall, I think Disneyland Paris has a really nice new addition to their food offering with Rosalie.
I think it's definitely an upgrade. Because especially with the comptoir.
Yeah, indeed, an extra cheaper to-go option, more diversity, because the French kitchen is not represented that well in the parks yet. And it's also a fresh looking venue, so I hope
totally
to see the rest of Disney Village transform really soon to give it a bit more of a stylish and quality feeling again.
Did you see any long lines by any chance throughout the day or in the evenings after the parks close, or was it always pretty chill at the comptoir?
I don't think I passed by after the park closed, but any other time of the day when I walked by, there was no big line. But I know that reservations can be hard to get especially weekends, but they always have some tables available for people that didn't make a reservation, they assured me. So
Nice.
It's always worth checking if they have availability.
Okay, cool. Well, it sounds like we've got a really nice addition there, so I'm so excited to try it out myself sometime in the future. Now, before we get to this month's main topic, I did want to mention that in this month's Patreon exclusive show, we're chatting all about theme park fan struggles. That's right. You can get access to this exclusive episode as well as all of our other fabulous Patreon exclusive shows over on patreon.com/airmagique. We're also really excited to announce that we've introduced some new features to Patreon. With the Newport tier and up, you can join us for live recordings of both the main show and the Patreon exclusive episode. Plus, everyone gets early access to select web articles, and there's so much more. So if you guys want to support Emergeek, we'd love to see you there. And you can also stick around to the end of this show for a preview of this month's Patreon exclusive episode.
Yes, be sure to check it out.
Yes.
Sorry.
No worries.
Now it's my turn. Well, on to today's main topic. And Eric recently got to experience the winter Efteling event in the famous Dutch theme park. And it's funny, as I have never been to winter Efteling myself while I'm living in the Netherlands. But Eric, what exactly is winter Efteling?
Yeah, so winter Efteling is a special seasonal event inside Efteling Park. It began on November 13th, 2023, and will run until February 4th, 2024. Winter Efteling reoccurs on a yearly basis and celebrated its 25th anniversary this time around. Parkgoers can look forward to experiencing a bunch of beautiful decorations, special activities, a meet and greet, as well as unique snacks. The event is spread out over Efteling Park, so not all of it is in one concentrated place. That being said, most of it occurs on the left-hand side of the park when, you know, you're looking at the park map.
Right. Yeah, so it's early in a select area.
Yeah, it's... There are like two main areas that are just winter Efteling themed, but you've got decorations mostly throughout the park, and that's pretty scattered all over the place. Yeah.
Feels to me a little bit like Frontierland during Halloween and Main Street in Disneyland Paris. Eh?
Yeah.
All decorations are in those two areas, and the rest of the park, well, maybe you find one or two pumpkins, but not that much. But
Yeah, totally.
Well, can you tell us a bit about winter Efteling decorations then? And what are any highlights in your opinion?
Yeah, there was a ton of Christmas-inspired decorations spread throughout the park. In general, I loved visiting Efteling this time of year since it got dark around 4 p.m. and you could really enjoy all the park's excellent lighting package. So not only the decorations, but also just the regular lighting, which is pretty good.
That's nice.
Many of the decorations were also placed strategically at two major points in Efteling Park. So one of those locations was right in front of Droomvlucht and featured a giant snow globe that was also a photo opportunity. You could actually step inside the globe and activate a snow effect. So it was a really fun place to take photos. Other than that, there were also characters, the wintry Droomvlucht fairies interacted with parkgoers and just, you know, contributed to the overall ambience of the space. It also featured several Christmas trees that were covered in a very realistic looking artificial snow and a few chalets that sold snacks as well as some merch. There were also, it was like a giant glowing butterfly installation near Symbolica. Efteling categorized it as this year's new decorative highlight. But to be honest, it didn't leave that much of an impression on me. In the press photo, they looked pretty cool, like they were floating above the parkgoers' heads. But in reality, you could see the intrusive heavy equipment needed to hold these things up. So even during the darker hours, during the daylight hours, it just looked a little messy, to be honest.
Yeah. Magic gone.
It just didn't create that awe-inspiring moment that the designers were hoping to achieve. But that's the way of things when trying new things. Sometimes it works out, and that's great, and other times it doesn't. But overall, I'm really happy to see them Efteling innovate. However, the star of the show was the... I'm going to pronounce this terribly, Niels. I'm sorry. Warme Winterweide, or warm... What?
Yeah, Warme Winterweide.
Warme Winterweide, yeah. Or Warm Winter Meadow in English. Efteling converted their massive field into a winter wonderland. So this space was previously also utilized for the Efteling anniversary celebration. Right. So it seems to be like their go-to area for pop-up celebrations and events. The Warme Winterweide featured a plethora of chalets selling merch and snacks, as well as a lovely ice skating ring, places to sit, and a photo opportunity with Pardus or Pardine, is that how you say it? I hope so. Yeah. Depending on when you visit. Since we had previously booked the Efteling equivalent equivalent of a one-day photo pass. We were really wanting to get that professional photo with Pardoos. So
right.
The Efteling photo system is digital first, and it's really intuitive to use. You simply scan the QR code the Efteling photographer gives you, or enter the number displayed on the screen when exiting an attraction, mm-hmm. and it appears instantly in the app.
Oh,
there are currently two versions of the digital photo pass. So the day pass, which is what we got, costs 25 euro. And the hotel and resorts pass, valid for up to 7 days, cost 35 euro. The digital photo pass...
That's for longer stays.
Yeah, totally, yeah. totally. The digital photo pass also entitles you to a 30% discount on other photo-related products, such as key rings or if you want to have them printed. The user experience feels way smoother and more integrated than Disneyland Paris's photo pass system. So, you know, props to the Efteling IT and app teams. Really great job.
Nice.
We all had a really great time at the Pardoos photo location. He was sitting in a giant red Efteling sleigh and featured a beautiful backdrop of snow-covered pine trees. Florin's mom especially loved the experience. It was her first time ever meeting a character, like, at all, since we didn't get the chance to back in Disneyland Paris, so she was really excited. She still has this set as her WhatsApp profile photo, so you can tell that it was really special.
That was a highlight. And I see in the picture that she was sitting next to Pardoos in the sleigh.
Yeah, so. She got to sit in the sleigh next to Pardoos. She was a special star of the photo shoot.
Yeah, really nice.
One small detail Efteling could improve upon during the winter season is perhaps pay a bit more attention to sight lines. I realize this is especially difficult given the most of the plants lose their foliage during the season, but we saw so many like unaesthetic things during the visit, which really takes you out of the beautiful immersive theming that they're so well known for. So when you see like a bunch of wires running through the magical forest, or the backside of the winter Efteling meadow, which featured a bright orange forklift and a giant trash container with garbage bags sticking out of the top. So most of these things are not visible when walking through the park on foot, but very much so when taking the Stoomtrein, which is Efteling's version of the Disneyland Railroad. A few nondescript, like, go-away green coverings would hide those cables and perhaps some themed construction-style walls for the backside of the winter Efteling meadow. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It feels like something that could be done there, because other than that, the decorations were fantastic and world-class. Like, Efteling in general is just so well-themed with a love for detail that is rarely seen outside of, like, Disney or Universal.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Really, I hope they listen so they can improve a little bit next year.
Just some constructive feedback
that. Yeah, exactly. Very good. But the funny thing is, I'm listening to a lot of Dutch podcasts, theme park podcasts, and a lot of Dutch visiting winter Efteling every year are a little bit disappointed this year that there's less decorations and less fire
like fire pits and things like that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Maybe it's also a safety thing or new rules, but overall people think they did a better job in some of the more recent years.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I have nothing to compare it to since this is our first time visiting, but we had a good time.
That's good. That it's still a good experience if you're a new visitor. So what are some of the special activities that visitors can experience during winter Efteling?
Yeah, so there are lots of fun things parkgoers can look forward to. As previously mentioned, a beautiful ice skating ring, special character meet and greets, and of course just enjoying the park's winterly decor in general. Other than that, most of Efteling's attractions were open and operating as usual. The crowd level was low on the day of our visit, so it was really pleasant. We were there mid-November and most of the attractions were walk-ons or had like a 5-minute wait. We also used the accessibility entrance for the first time because there are members in our party that, you know, can't really climb flights of stairs. So I think that's a really big difference between American design theme parks like Disneyland Paris, which actively avoid stairs for the most part, to European design parks, which have like a certain love affair with them, especially on the older attractions. To be fair, it's also likely due to space limitations. That reminds me, I was recently in Fantasialand and rode the quote-unquote new to me at least fly roller coaster, and that queue feels like it was aiming for the world record in stairs. It literally sends parkourers up and down multiple flights of stairs around the entire attraction. Fantastic steampunk coal miner theming, but other than that, I have to say that the flying type roller coaster will not become my new favorite roller coaster experience. Having that restraint pushed down on my stomach, plus you're not looking where you're going, right? So it gave me some serious motion sickness. Anyway, I'm happy to report most of Efteling attractions had a stair-free accessibility entrance, and all of the team members were really friendly and helpful. So the attraction that had the most interesting accessibility entrance, in my opinion, was Symbolica, which featured an entire accessibility waiting area with benches, which is great for folks who have trouble standing for longer periods of time.
Right.
Parties are called one by one to board their vehicle in a separate boarding area, which allows for, well, all the time you need basically to either get in or leave the vehicle, which is really nice. And it doesn't hold up the main load and unload areas.
Right.
Honestly, Symbolica is just such an excellent dark ride. That library scene and the giant whale, mama, it literally nourished me. Like, I'm never going to have to eat again. It was so good.
Nice.
We also saw the Raveline show for the first time, which was cute. It featured giant set pieces, which are really fun. All the dialogue was Dutch, but we could still follow along. The story is quite simple, but a classic, like, good versus evil battle in a medieval-type fantasy setting gave me a slight Game of Thrones vibes, but, you know, family-friendly. It's a show featuring ravens and horses, and I think, Niels, you mentioned that they were all trained by Pew Defu, right?
We that's correct, and I'm not sure if the performers are still from France, but the original performers for the first season were actually actors working and trainers, horse trainers from Puy de Fou.
Wow, that's interesting.
Staying in the Netherlands, and then they had a show stop for a couple of months, so they could go back to France, and then they came back, or other people came in. But but that's indeed a collaboration between the two parks. And recently, Puy de Fou was looking at an opportunity to open their own park in the Netherlands, but I read that they, well, cancelled that idea somehow.
Okay,
but it's interesting to follow, and I'm wondering if such type of park would work.
Show only park is always like super risky because you don't have that rewritability factor, right?
And exactly, if you've seen the shows, then you have to like them a lot
to see them again.
To see them again, to come back again.
Yeah, it's a really interesting concept. I'm not sure about it either, but it's something different.
I think Efteling found a nice way to integrate it as a showpiece within a theme park.
Yeah, totally. I mean, speaking of integration, it's literally integrated into the offices. Like, if you look through the windows of the whole medieval style set, you can see people working on their laptops. Like,
yes, that's correct. And I've actually been in one of those offices.
How really? Can you hear the show, or is it like super?
It's super loud.
Oh no.
It's super loud. Yes, it was quite fun. As I've had several meetings there, long meetings, and
that's hilarious.
And then you're interrupted by some big bangs, especially when that what was it? The dragon with the fire scene. Well, it's quite impressive. But it's also really fun to be able to see it from the backside, and of course see all the mechanics and magic gone. But really interesting to be there. And in that office building is the marketing department, the Imagineering from Efteling, and there are probably more things. But I'm sure that those departments are there.
I don't think I could get any work done at all. Like, my ADD would be so bad. I'd be watching the show the entire time. Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah.
But I don't think it's good that you were able to see people working. I was expecting that it was a little bit more hidden, huh? In the medieval scene. Laptops.
It's something that we were paying attention to before the show started because we didn't have anything to look at. But as soon as the show was like going on, you didn't focus on that anymore. It was just like, you know, trying to spot details. Good. Like, oh, what's this giant building? What's the set piece? Because, and then all of a sudden you see people are, you know, behind the windows and you're like, what? What are they doing? So it really just sparked some curiosity. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. It's also called the Ravelijn office, I remember. Remember him.
That's really funny. Yeah. I love it.
So you already mentioned some special snacks being available for Winter Efteling. So there were a lot of food offerings, and can you tell us something about that and any favorites maybe?
Yeah, there are a bunch of available food offerings scattered throughout the Winter Efteling chalets. However, the one we ended up trying was the it was in the Ton van de Ven Plein Chalet.
Very good. Yeah.
Near Ton the giant. Ven, yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Sorry to our Dutch listeners and to you, Niels, especially. Near the giant snow globe. This chalet served up a variety of warm wintry drinks and cinnamon rolls. I ended up ordering the hazelnut hot chocolate, which was so delicious. One of the best theme park hot chocolate drinks I've tasted so far. Also looked like really photogenic with a beautiful whipped cream topping with hazelnut pieces and snowflake it's like little snowflakes sprinkles that are shaped like snowflakes. They're really good. It's all very nice. Cute. We didn't really do too much in the way of food because the park was already closing at 6 p.m. on the day of our visit. However, we did end up grabbing a few pancakes at Poliskoiken, which we talked about in our previous Efteling-themed show, so be sure to check that out if you haven't listened to that yet. In summary, it featured a lot of kinetic and intricate theming, almost like a magical pancake house that's looking like a earthy fairy tale forest type aesthetic. It looks really cool. Oh, and the pancakes are also very, very good.
and the fun thing is that you can spot Polle with his pancakes also in the Symbolica ride.
Yes, that's the moment that smells really good. Well, talking about things that smell great, I wanted to give a big shout out to the Efteling merchandise teams because they come up with something I have yet to see elsewhere. You can actually purchase many of the scents that are used in the attractions in the park. So I picked up that Symbolica fragrance, which smells like sweet baked goods. It's so good. So when you ride the attraction, that is the scent you smell when entering the ballroom sequence, and that's probably also when you see Polo there.
Yeah. I think he's on the right side just before entering. You can see him coming up with his pancakes.
And, exactly. It smells so good.
Nice. Oh, but it's funny that you bought one of the fragrances.
I actually the Efteling Hotel also has its own fragrance, which I think is my new like favorite scent ever. They don't diffuse it in the lobby or anywhere else from what I can tell, which is just baffling to me because it smells divine.
That's weird.
And I did pick up a bottle of that in the hotel gift shop as well.
Maybe they just use it in the suites or premium places.
I guess it's possible. I was expecting to really like smell it when walking in the lobby, but but it smells really fabulous. And so I hope Efteling keeps on making more fragrances because they're doing a really good job.
Nice.
That's it. That was the the Winter Efteling trip report. Overall, we just had a really good time, and I definitely go back again next year. So maybe we'll have something to compare it to then, and I can also join in the complaining that it's not as good as the previous year.
Well, I hope it's even better next year then.
No, it's just like, just the fact of having a bunch of attractions that are walk-ons is already such a major quality of life addition, I'm going to say, when visiting a theme park, like just not having to wait and just being able to ride as many times as you want. And seeing the joy on Florian's parents' faces who have never been to Efteling, and it's just getting to experience that is just vicariously through them, you know, seeing everything for the first time is also really, really fun.
Did they have a favorite, right?
I think it was a match between Droomvlucht and Symbolica. They couldn't really pick which one they liked more, but both of those were definitely in their top top tier
really
attractions, I would say.
For dark rides, both. Yeah.
Really incredible. And Efteling is just such an excellent park for dark rides. I visited Fantasia Land this December, and I was really just missing some good dark rides. All the coasters are fun and everything, but after like my fifth coaster in a row, I'm like, okay, I'm ready for something that's a little bit more chill, but still really beautiful.
And telling a story.
Exactly, and telling a story. So it's just that park is missing some good dark rides. Anyway, Niels, where can people find you?
Well, please follow me on Instagram. I'm Niels Capturing Parks, and I post daily pictures for all my other activities. Please visit my website, which is still capturingdisneyparks.com.
Brilliant. If you just found us, be sure to subscribe to Air Magique on your favorite podcasting platform to never miss a future episode. Follow Air Magique on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and check out our website airmagique.net for all the latest Disneyland Paris news and European theme park news. Am I still allowed to call it Twitter? I feel like, should I be saying X? I feel like an idiot if I do. Right. I don't know. I'm refusing. I'm just going to keep calling it Twitter. Please consider supporting the show on patreon.com/airmagique. You get access to completely new exclusive episode every month, and it really helps out a lot and keeps the show running. Before we go, we did want to thank some of our patrons, and you can also get in a shout out beginning with the Sequoia tier. So thank you so much to Simon, JB, Gray, Andy, Jordan, Alex, Scott, and Jerry. Thank you so much, you guys.
Yes, thanks a lot.
Stay safe out there and have a wonderful start to the new year. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Bye-bye. Next one is maybe a little bit trickier, but also an urge to correct people. But this time in theme park queues, when people really telling nonsense about the parks, the rides, to their party, acting like they know everything as a big fan. And I, well, mostly know better. Not always. But it's difficult for me to not correct them. And intervene in their conversation and tell them the truth.
At least you correct them in your head, like at the very least, you're like, no, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. I heard someone say recently to saying to a friend in the queue that the Indiana Jones ride is going backwards. Well, that's not the case for many years now. Someone else in Disneyland Paris was convincingly telling the other person about a very fun coaster they still had to do during that specific trip while standing in line for that actual coaster, Big Thunder Mountain, of course, not realizing that they had to queue for that on the mainland and that the ride was on the island. So they didn't know what they're queuing for. So that was really funny. And another guest was telling her friend about a drone show above the castle while that drone show isn't there for a long time anymore. Of course, now we have the new sky parade, the
electric sky parade.
Sky parade with the drones. But between the end of the 30th anniversary and early January, there were no drones at all above the castle. So people promising other people nice things that are not there. That's that's difficult.
I think the worst one that I ever heard was actually in Orlando back when Stitch's Great Escape was still operating. So if you don't know, Stitch's Great Escape is a animatronic style show, and the theater setup is in a circular fashion. So everybody sits in a circle and the animatronic is in the middle, and that's where most of the action happens. But I was standing in the queue for Big Thunder Mountain, the Orlando version. Big disappointment, by the way, if you are used to the Paris version.
Yeah, true.
And these people behind me were saying that, oh, did you know Stitch's Great Escapes? The theater actually spins so fast that you can't even feel it. And I'm like, what in the are they talking about? Like, I couldn't believe my ears.
That was just a short preview of the full-length Patreon exclusive show. You can get instant access to this episode as well as Disneyland Paris Hacks 2.0, Disneyland Paris on a Budget, and the Discoveryland Deep Dive, along with all of our other fabulous Patreon exclusive episodes now on patreon.com/airmagique. See you there!